Welcome to the Heart of Healthcare podcast. In series 3, we'll be talking about healthcare from a global perspective, offering deep discussions about what it will take for a system shift that will benefit patients and healthcare professionals when medicine is practiced from the heart. We'll be hearing from Stephanie Mo Davis, Drs. Ruby Shah, Dan Dinnenberg, and Diane Bonhoeffer as they share insights and wisdom from their personal experiences. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Jan.
Hey. So, wow, today we're approaching, today is the 9th episode. This is, can you believe it? Already our 9th episode. And we are today looking at system shift. So last time we talked about seeing the human before the disease, seeing the patient before we give them a stamp, a label, an etiquette, and then we work with that label and missing out on who we're actually meeting, who we are blessed to be with and share a stretch of our journey together. And we arrived at a point where we're saying, okay, so there is a shift needed because that's not what we live. That's at least not what we're trained structurally to live, to see the patient before the disease. We're trained to be very fast and efficient at arriving at a diagnosis and be very kind of skillful to elaborate on differential diagnosis and kind of be involved in a mental game. And that has its value. And we should do so. And yet we realize that that's really just a very, it's a tunnel view. And so we want to see how can we move beyond that. And one way to do that is to see actually who is in front of us and then to factor in that tiny little element, that tiny little mosaic that actually helps us to understand what is going on technically, medically, technically in that person. So today we want to look at what does it mean in terms of the system level. So in all our journey during the last 9 episodes, we looked at what does it mean for the patient, the different aspects, what does it mean for the healthcare provider, and where can we meet, and what are the dynamics of this interaction? And today we want to see what does it take for us to actually bring this into the system that we currently have? Or does it take a change of system overall? We don't know that. So today we want to explore what might it take to change our current behavior, our current patterns, and possibly explore what is in the way of doing so. So what keeps us trapped? So one way to go about this is to have a look at our healthcare system and treat it as a patient and look at the system and say, what is the state of health of our healthcare system? And then kind of make a diagnosis doc, right? So what's our diagnosis? And then we can learn from what we've just said and say, no, we don't want to make a diagnosis of our healthcare system. We want to see the system before the disease, right? So what is the essence of the system that we have? And where does it serve us well? And where is it in dire need of change or in support? Where could it actually live up to its full potential that isn't really realized quite yet? So that's kind of where we're coming from. And at the end, we want to actually, at our next episode, we want to kind of talk about now what. So for 10 episodes, we've established kind of the different dynamics. And at our last episode, next time, we want to look at, so what are the concrete steps? How can we become very real? But today, let's stick with the dynamics of change and what might be needed. So who wants to get started with this?
I'll start. Mm-hmm. Because this is such a complex topic, I think it's good to talk about some fundamentals of what it takes to change. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about changing an entire system. Let's just turn the view back on ourselves and think about how sometimes it's difficult for us to admit that we need change and for us to seek out the ways in which some of the solutions that we need to seek out to embody that change. So I think the first thing to just consider to start out maybe more simply as this gets more complex is to understand that if we're crying out for a change within the system, it means that we are equally going to be caught up in that change. And change isn't always easy at the start. We might have a vision of where we're going, but the point I'm making is any change takes an element of work. and amongst a system that's already carrying a significant amount of burnout and frustration, can we somehow come together and instead of talking about the change we need, find the right people to associate with who still have the energy left or desire to take the necessary steps that we need to cultivate this fertile ground of creating change? So I just wanted to start with that, is that we are crying out for change, but we also have to realize that that energy is going to have to come through within us as well. And it's not going to be so easy in the beginning. And I think this is sometimes why people resist change, is because if things are comfortable, stable, and secure as they are, they don't necessarily want to create unnecessary disruption within their life and within their process. I think there has to be this maturation in understanding what it takes to change and to understand, okay, this is going to be work. Again, more work. I'm going to have to face the uncertain, but I know in the long run, it's the right thing to do. And I'm connected with the right people who are willing to commit to that work for the change.
Thank you. So many important points that you're touching on here. So one is kind of, what does it take to change regardless of where and who and how? Just, you know, what's the element of change in human? And another key point I'm hearing is uncertainty. So how do we deal with uncertainty? So given that we don't know where the journey is leading, how do we deal with that? And particularly if we're kind of stressed out, if we're living in an emergency type situation, if we're living on emergency, then there's very little room to consider, sit back, relax, reflect, and consider change. There isn't really that bandwidth isn't even available, right? Particularly now, if we look at kind of post-COVID, and for some centers, as for us now in Switzerland, with a lot of refugees arriving from Ukraine, we're going from kind of COVID to another huge challenge. And where is the space here to breathe and reflect? So that's something we really want, and that wanting leads to work, and that work needs courage. Mm-hmm. So where do we find that courage? Ruby, how is this for you? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one thing to mention is that there are helpers that are available to hold the vision. And I believe that these people often come from outside of the system. So if you think about somebody who has a vision that seems impossible, but they continue to hold that in their mind's eye as a focus and completely have released the expectation of the how. It's nice to be associated with those people who say, I'm committed to helping this system. This may sound completely far-fetched and impossible, but I'm here to help inspire people to hold that vision. I think it's important for people that are going through these complex issues to recognize that there's helpers, so to speak, all around, and to be able to look outside of this system to keep re-inspiring us to hold that vision.
So that's good news. That's encouraging for those who may not have the courage right now. And it's comforting for those who feel we might not have the energy to actually go through the work and go through a change process, a process of change. And it's painful, right? It's painful somehow. That work starts with a recognition that where we are today may not be where we actually want it to be. That's a recognition that can be very painful. So Ruby, you're nodding.
Yeah. So I think acknowledgement and honesty is a better word. Honesty. It rings truer than acknowledgement. It's kind of clinical. honesty shows that that depth of feeling that this experience felt like to me. It has multiple entryways and multiple connections. So way before we can recognize and reach out to people outside the system, which again, I'm speaking from experience, right? I work with Stephanie. This is the person who's given me the greatest amount of support and hope. So for people listening, you might say, oh, well, great for you. You've got this person to support you. You've got this vision already in place, such as it is. You've been talking about it. I can remember very clearly that moment and the honesty that it takes of, like you said, Jan, this is not what I was expecting. This is not what I signed up for. This has taken me by surprise. You know, we've talked about self-awareness, we've talked about self-compassion, self-love, and how the difference between like a calling and what you came for to medicine, you know, existing within this connection with human beings. And then next thing you know, you get to do your thing as a doctor, but you look around and now you are a representative of the system, not just a part, not just, you know, a component, not just somebody who happens to be part of the system when they want to. You're actually a representative of it. And that's an ouch.
Mm-hmm. How's this? Let me ask you two questions. How is this an ouch? Where does it hurt?
It hurts because you work so hard. You work so hard to provide for your patients to show up in the best way that you can. And you do truly have a commitment to your calling and your place. But all you see and all you hear from your patients is frustration, limitations, disease, diagnosis, problem lists. You know, this is the world in which we exist, restrictions. That's what I've often felt, the opposite of freedom to serve, the opposite of freedom to serve. I feel like there is this restriction upon me to even just express myself as a doctor fully. So what happens next, right, is when you start to feel those restrictions, which I think, Dan, you've shared some of this from when you started to feel like you were a different type of doctor than the rest of your family, and you were still learning what that looked like. And I really resonated with that too, because I remember that in my own journey, although I don't have any doctors in my family. What comes next the only way you can survive that, right? And is to find solidarity and a camaraderie with your patients. We're in this together, we're in the trenches. I'm here for you, you're here for me. We love each other, at least we get it. So what's left out is the system. And the system is the focus of your ire, your otherness, your disgruntlement, your frustrations. So this is what I mean when I say that actually you yourself, when you realize that you are a representative of the system, is I can give a story. I worked at the VA for 5 years, the Veterans Hospital, the Veterans System in the United States, which is a government-run institution, and it comes with great, great, beautiful, amazing things that power that it lends that system. But at the same time, man, talk about cog in a wheel. again, I developed great solidarity with my patients, great residents, beautiful relationships, amazing people that I met, including my colleagues. But I felt like I was providing good quality care. I really did, because one of the few places in the United States that I stand by this, that truly allows you to be a primary care doctor, is the VA. I really feel this. And I'm happy you can email me and I can explain why I feel that. But my patients would come and quickly disavow me of how well I thought I was doing. And they would tell me, I can't call you. I can't get a hold of you. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You haven't addressed this, or you haven't addressed that. And all of those things were things that were so outside of my control. I had to follow a certain protocol in terms of how they could get in touch with me. I was in certain systems. I couldn't even, short of giving everybody my cell phone number, which I did try disastrously a few times. Short of doing that, there was no way to exist within that system with that number of patients and survive. And that's what I meant, where I realized I had that bodily, again, in every cell of my being, realization that, like, wow, I am this system. I think I can show up and provide the level of care that I know I can, that I want to, that I'm yearning to, that I feel called to. But if I'm doing it in the system, I'm part of it. I am a representation of it. So my patients don't see me outside of the VA. They don't see me. So it's sweet that I'm trying. It's good that I'm trying. And I honored old me. I tried, but from their experience, that was part of their experience, their holistic overall environmental experience that they were having. Sorry, that was long-winded, but but that's what I mean, that to the patient on the other side of the exam room, table, phone, video screen, we are just part, we are a representation of the system. We're no different. We may also be a friend, you know, a fellow human being. We may be a voice, a presence in their lives, but we are still also that. And once you recognize that, for myself, I had a choice. Either I could leave that system or I could work to try to fix it. And that's a whole other story.
Ruby, thank you so much. There's so much to unpack that you just talked about that is really important for us to understanding the system. And I think the way that you explained it in the honesty and the depth of feeling that you were talking about, it's as if what's going on is those that want to change the system, those that have the emotional connection to their calling, are those that are willing to give out their cell phone, to want to do something like that. But you imagine if there's that many people that need help, that all of a sudden it's the bathtub analogy of like, you're trying to fill up the bathtub and the drain is there. And so those of us that have that heart calling that are connected into that, then end up just in a losing quote unquote battle because they're always trying to do something and they're the ones that get burnt out and they're the ones that have the challenge. Going back, I think that Jan, one same thing you said that was really a question that was, you know, what is that? And you use encouraging, we use courage. And you said, you know, what is that? What is that that creates that courage to change the system? And it's great to know that courage comes from courage, this idea of it comes from heart. And so it's an amazing place to start. You know, it's that is where courage and the encouragement comes from, is our own heart. And so then when I look at the system and I'm just very simplicity of looking at like what I would desire from the system, just to move us into the change of what we're looking for. Look, we want more time, we want more connection, and we want more love, more heart. And I know that's challenging for a lot of physicians to even say, because they've sort of like, it's not comfortable to be in a system and even share that word, but that's what it is. It really is that deeper connection with another being. And that's what I think the system needs. Now, when you think about how to move forward and change, and this is kind of what Stephanie was sort of getting us to, is, you know, you don't have to know how it happens. You could be that inspiration. And again, since I'm talking, you know, root words, inspiration, inspirare, coming from the breath. So you're basically bringing breath into love. I mean, it's really what we're doing here. And when you can inspire in that way, but when you're trying to change, let's say I'm working with a client, a lot of times it's really helpful to give it something specific. You know, you have this SMART goal framework. It was from an 81 Duran article way back when, but it was like, you know, is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it actionable? Is it relatable? Is it time bound? Because that gives these changes a little bit more to deal with. So if I'm working on something, it's like, hey, when do we want to get this? When are you going to start practicing that? How long? So just this little specifics of doing it. But now you're holding inspiration in what we need in the system to change and getting a little bit more specific into what those could be. And then now allowing in something where it's like, are we doing it in a closed loop? Is the system itself, can we change in the system itself? Or is it so big that it's the healthcare of humanity, that all of this is important? Everything is medicine, is what I say a lot. That's sort of one of my kind of go-to. It's like everything is medicine. And I kind of allow that belief to share. It's like, you know, whatever we're talking about could be in a dosage, but everything else in life is a medicine there. And so, you know, now we're moving from, you know, I think Stephanie's word, we're kind of like comfortable, stable, secure, to something that requires heart, the courage to shift into something that now is something that's needed, but is something that's not there. And how do we do that in a system that feels like we are representative? We are the system, and yet all of us feel like it's something else entirely, because it's like a soulless conglomerate that doesn't really exist. But like, hey, if we're the system, if I'm a representative of the system, healthcare is working phenomenally right now. I mean, blessings on what I'm able to do right now. But it's like that. So somehow there are these little beacons of light where the system is working. And so wait a second, if the system is working and we are the representative, and now we're inspiring and breathing and bringing that love, and everybody starts doing that. Wait, hold on here. We're the system. I'm really curious, Jan, your thoughts, because, hey, if we're the representative of the system and we're making these internal changes, like, you know, in our own lives, every one of us has done some sort of internal work that now is, you know, it's genotype, phenotype, it's internal expression of our own work is now externalizing into what we are and what we're sharing and who we're talking to, who we're magnetically connected to in this podcast. So it's like internal work, external work, internal system, external system? Is that possible, Jan? Where are we in this?
I don't know, Dan. No, let's explore together, okay?
Okay. So
the way it seems to me, and it's interesting, we've been touching on this, referencing internal system in the system and outside the system, yeah? So if we can't do this inside our system, can we get help from outside the system? There are people holding the vision outside the system, right? And so what defines the system, right? What is the borderline between inside and outside? If we think about health, then I think we all agree, everybody agrees that health doesn't start and stop at the hospital door, right? So for sure, health has other elements that are way beyond. We all agree public health is relevant. We all agree about the areas of public health. So we all agree about societal factors and environmental factors and nutritional factors. And you know, that's all well recognized by now, right? It's not too long, right? It's fairly recent insight. It's a very young science that we're talking about here, right? So we're just talking about, you know, a few generations now of Homo sapiens that have recognized this, like from a scientific perspective, right? I think this is ancient old wisdom and represented in all of the healing cultures around the globe, that the connectedness is actually more present in most of the cultures around the globe. So but in our, when we look at kind of the medical system that is designed based on Western science, then this is where we like to talk about internal and external. Now, you touched on love, Dan, and you said, isn't it that, right? You said time, love, and was it connection? Time, mm-hmm. love, and connection, right? So I thought that was an interesting difference between time, between love and connection. Because to me, the essence of love is connectedness. Like the essence of love to me is like a field. Love is like a field, like a magnetic field or an energy field, or, you know, what fields that we describe in physics, for example, right? So love is like a field. It's an energy that I can actually drop into, that I am an expression of that field, if I like it or not, and if I'm aware of it or not, right? And in this field,
can I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I heard Dan say connection, I experienced it internally, a connection right. within myself. Right. So just to throw that out there.
Yeah. So what if healing, wholeness, oneness, if that's the journey and the direction of travel, if that is what connects us, then there is the field where there is no me. Then there is a me that has a sense of being filled with love, being feeling whole, feeling healed, And we can then enter into a relatedness of love. So love can then be relational or transactional when it becomes the result of speech and action, but it may not be. It may actually just be. It may be a state of being rather than the result of what we do and what we say. Now, in that sense, there isn't anything like inside the system or outside the system. There's just existence, right? So that makes it equally impossible to tackle as the question, can we change the system? What we can do is we can recognize where and through what portal, let's say, through what portal do we experience this system? That could be a conversation, right? And so then if we look at it from that perspective, then possibly that helps us address what is the system change that is required, because it's the portal through which we experience the system that informs us about how we see it and how we experience it. How does that?
May I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I feel as though I love this conversation around what Dan was saying and love and connection. And again, this is complex. This has many downstream effects of change, talking about changing the system. But I want to kind of go way upstream here and go back to Jan. You were talking about the field, that you were talking about this love exists kind of in this field. I want to just remind all of us that remember the field already exists. So what we really need to do before we talk about making change is first to understand where we're out of alignment with sustained love in the field. So we have to go back into the self again to realize if we want to do something that requires a tremendous amount of work and effort to change a system, there has to be two simultaneous components interrelating and connecting. And that's the change that's going on within the self in relation to the change that we're making with other people within the system. But what cannot happen and what we need to try to mitigate is the ways in which we're disconnecting from the field while we're trying to make change, which means we have to understand, where am I disconnecting from myself and love at any point along my journey within my experience? Change is only going to come from sustained commitment and love of the thing that we're in service to. So we have to really first understand, number one, all of the resources we need and the people we need to do this better already exist. Mm-hmm. They're already out there. Mm-hmm. So that is hopeful. It's where are we blocked, yeah, in ourselves and within our colleagues and within the system to connect to and stay connected to the source of love. So okay, we don't keep disconnecting.
Love that. As an infectious disease physician, to me, that's like the number one pandemic virus that is circulating, right? It's the non-love virus, right? So it is, how do we actually spread non-love from human to human and from colleague to colleague, right? We mentioned the system, right? So we want to move beyond the patient healthcare professional relation and look at what is the healthcare professional healthcare? What is the relation in the team, right? What is the relation between the organizations? Right?
The portal, Jan, is love. I'm telling you, the portal is love. It's the It's love is what births the connection and the creative, yeah, force and the energy. Love, yeah, is the portal. So we have to first understand that if I can't sustain love, choose love in all things. When I wake up in the morning, no matter how difficult it is, we are closing the portal to potential.
Yeah.
And I share a weird definition of love and being part of the system. Yes.
Sure.
To me, unlocking your empowerment within the system, unlocking your commitment to change, for me, that came in the form of love, which was forgiveness of myself. If I'm a representation, why am I having such difficulty with this wonderful word, representation of the system, then I've screwed up a lot. I have screwed up. I've done a lot of things that I don't agree with, that I'm not proud of. So I had to forgive that. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's love. That is the manifestation of self-love, the forgiveness. The honesty first, I screwed up. I am a representative. Oh my God, representation of the system. Next comes love, which is forgiveness. For me, first was experienced as forgiveness. That, wow, this is the best that I could do. I did the best that I could in the moment. I'm I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And it didn't come instantaneously. It took a while. But once I made it past that, what I felt was, actually, yes, I am the system. And next came, again, this is the weird part, you guys, is I could begin to love the system. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? When you start forgiving yourself and you're starting to change your inner state, and suddenly the world looks differently, right? Mm-hmm.
Instead of salt baths and taking a weekend retreat for self-love, we use forgiveness and things that we hold against ourselves to create that space and that portal and that breath and that inspiration to step into what we really want to step into. So it's this as within, so without kind of mentality.
So in many ways, we have established this for our healthcare professional and patient relation, right? Where we said focusing on the disease actually misses the patient and misses the potential. And it's not just that it's important, it's actually harmful at the same time. It is honestly harmful to limit the patient to a diagnosis. It's academically interesting. It may be helpful from a technical point of view. From a true healing point of view, it's actually harmful. Right? Because we're depriving the patient of the potential rather than actually nourishing that gate, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if by grace, we show up as a human being in addition to what we've learned, so in addition to our professional role, and we kind of, not the last bit of our humanity has been driven out of us, then that gate remains, that portal remains. And that's where we connect. And that's where we feel gratitude for the moment of care. That's where we feel gratitude for the healthcare professional taking care of us and for the patient who we spent the night shift with, possibly, right? So that we were not with our family, but we were there to care, right? So that part is the forgiveness part. And that part is needed at the system level just as much, right? So going against the regime, kind of the rebellion, the revolution, is actually not going to do the trick. It's the opposite. It's actually going to be harmful in the same way, right? So it's not about revolution. It's about evolution, right? And what we don't know yet, or at least I don't know yet, whether this system as it is, it just needs a little bit of evolution and we're good because all the potential is there, or does it need radical transformation, right? Like if we let's look at taxis, right? Everybody knew that there were taxis, right? Now there's Uber. I mean, it's kind of the same, but it's radically different. Let's look at hotels. Everybody knew what hotels are like for centuries, right? And now we have Airbnb, right? That's radically different. And yet still it's people, living in other people's spaces, right? So fundamentally it's the same, yet it's radically different.
Great analogy.
So what does it take, right? Do we just need a bit of a touch up here? Do we just need a bit of CME courses and everybody's cool? Just come to a little realization, change your inner state, happy hunky-dory. Everything else stays the same. Financial statement, reimbursement system, everything stays the same. 15 minutes per patient, cool. Is it that? Or what would it, where's going to be the resistance? Where's going to be the, what are we hitting up against? What do you think, Dan?
I think there's fundamental change that needs to happen. Because as I hear this, it's interesting. I can take you through a little bit of, kind of my thoughts. So Stephanie's talking, and I'm almost amused that it's the way that I talk about the gut-brain axis, like these different systems completely that I'm integrating in. I'm like, look, where food is medicine and what your microbiome looks like, because that is the neurotransmitters, but let's not worry about that right now. Let's just kind of focus on one system. So it's almost like this healing and wholeness as we're cleaning up, quote unquote, or like taking care of stewarding a system, then the other system within that system starts to help. And so you think about organ systems in that way. So you're like, there's an entire system, but then each one of them, there's a cellular level, the tissue level, the organ level. And so this is all ecosystem biology style. So when you ask that question, I think that the way that it is set up, how does our system need change? Would medicine be different? if we think about this as we spoke about sovereignty, and in the same way Stephanie reminded us so beautifully, so eloquently, that like the field exists. You know, here we're talking about the field, but then we have a patient reminder, like, yo, look, you guys are talking about the field again. You guys are incredible beings because you have touched into the field, but the field exists for you at all times for you to connect into. And then when you're doing that, if you're in the field of love, in the interconnection, both in alignment, thank you for that, Ruby, in the internal alignment, which is kind of how I think of that too, and the connection. So everything is connecting, everything is in alignment with that field. Then do we need radical transformation? It already exists because everything that has been set up has nothing to do with that. Every talk about the timing of with the patient, with what exists, with is all a financial situation. It's all based on financial a disconnection between the true healing of the biofield of love itself. It's a system that I don't think has been created with what we're talking about now at its center core. And that's challenging, and that creates forgiveness on, because I have a deep lineage on both sides of my family of what I consider physician healers that have been doing this work. And so, you know, but all of us come in and do our very best, and it is the evolution of love. It is the evolution. All of us are kind of doing our best within that. But I think, as you asked that question, if you take that as its core, this biofield, this field of love that we can tap into, how do we connect? How do we bring more time? How do we bring more connection? How do we bring more accurate diagnosis? How do we bring more healing? It doesn't look the way that it looks. And it's a much simpler process. It's not all that complicated to figure it out. If we have a bunch of physicians or healers or healthcare providers and a bunch of people that need help, those people intermingling on their own is gonna, the system already exists. We just don't need the middleman, middlewoman, whatever it is in the process. But now, how do we create it in a structure, bringing back to what I brought into it, in a structure that's not just a wild medley of people that need help and people that can help?
Dan, that's a perfect segue for our next conversation. So I think I love that what we've established today is not, oh, we all need healthy nutrition. Oh, we all need less pollution. Oh, we all need a different financial system. Oh, we all need, that's the medical, classic medical problem-based approach, right? No, the transformation is, so the system shift is recognizing that the field of love exists. It's recognizing what we consider outside the system, helpers, vision holders outside the system are actually part of that same field. They are available. They're actually part of it. They show up as healthcare professionals. They show up as patients. They show up as coaches. They show up as, they are available as well. And we are the greatest obstacle. So the system that it changes, it takes, the radical transition that it takes is called stepping out of emergency mode and relaxing. Relaxing into what we trust. And this may, that doesn't, that causes cramps in a brain that needs problems to solve. And yet it causes healing in those who are really looking for it. So, wow, what a perfect setup here. What a perfect setup for our next conversation where we actually, let's get very practical, right? Where we're saying like, now what? So given that the system shift that is required is to relax from an emergency mode into a healing mode and trust into everything is available, we just need to be open for that. And learn how to open ourselves for that. And even that is available. So how can we do that? What does it take? Great. Thank you. Thank you for another amazing journey together. Thanks a lot. And I'm really looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this Heart of Healthcare podcast brought to you by Heart-Based Medicine. If you enjoyed the conversation, you'll find some free resources and more information at heartbasedmedicine.org. Please share this episode if you feel inclined and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks and take care.